It is good to be together. It's good to look at God's word. If you'd like to turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 13 to 25. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 13 to 25. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, we're in a series on Sunday mornings looking at 1 Peter. And 1 Peter is all about what it means to live as Christians in the world on our way to heaven. Now, last week, Tom preached on verses 11 and 12, just before this passage, which in many ways are an introduction to the rest of chapter 2 and to the first half of chapter 3. And in those verses, Peter said that Christians are aliens in the world. It's not only Henry and Beth who are strange or a strange family. We're all strange. We're all aliens. Christians are aliens in the world. Christians are to live good lives. Christians should expect to be attacked for their faith. And Christians should glorify God in whatever they do. And so the question on the back of those verses is this: what does that look like in practice? What does it mean practically to live that out? And Peter says something here in verse 13, which is shocking to our East Manchester ears. He says, submit to every human institution. Then again in verse 18, he's talking about masters and household servants, household slaves, and he says, household slaves are to submit, be subject to their masters. Peter's saying this: we're to submit to all civil authority, all rightly ordered, properly ordered civil authority. And if you're an employee, you're to submit to your boss. Now, when we hear that, we don't like it. We don't like it because we are Western people, because we are, and we don't like it even more because we're Manchester people. You know, we don't like anybody above us. We don't like anybody in authority over us. We don't like anyone telling us what to do. Now, when the Bible says something which grates, which when you first read you don't agree with, you can do one of two things. You can be like Thomas Jefferson, I think he was the third president of the United States, who cut out the bits of the Bible he didn't like. Or you can say, I don't like this. It grates, but I'm willing to listen and to learn because this is God's word. And that's the attitude I'd love us to have this morning as we look at this topic of what it means and what it's like to submit to authority. And there's four things about submitting to authority I want us to look at. I want us to look at the call to submit, the reason to submit, the motivation to submit, and then the result of submission. So the call to submit, the reason to submit, the motivation to submit, and then the result of it. So first of all, the call to submit. What does it mean to be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution? It means this. It means to obey every rightly ordered human authority, except when you're commanded to sin. You're to obey every rightly ordered human authority except when you are commanded to sin. And that call, you see, is comprehensive. It's every human authority. All properly established authorities. That includes, Peter says, the emperor, who had supreme authority back in his day, and the emperor in his day was Nero. It also includes the emperor's governors, who were appointed by him to administer over different districts, to punish those who do evil, to reward those who do good. In fact, as a side point, that is the primary purpose of a government and political leaders. It's to punish the wicked, those who do wrong, and it's to reward those who do what's right. Now, we could extend that submission to include today the Queen, Boris Johnson, the government, judges and our justice system, the police, teachers. If you are an employee, your boss, your manager, your employer. Anyone in proper authority over us. Whether we like them or whether we don't like them. Whether they're good or whether they're bad. Household servants here are to submit to their boss, even if they're an unjust boss. In fact, we're to submit especially when we're treated badly. You know, we really struggle with submitting generally, but we really struggle even more when we're treated badly. Why would I submit to a boss like that? Why should I submit to a government like that? But Nero, who Peter's talking about, would inflict a huge persecution upon Christians, and Peter and Paul would lose their lives in that persecution. Peter's command here, Peter's call, is comprehensive. It's to all institutions, and it's at all times. You don't have a day off submission. It's 24/7, 365 days a year. You see, we find that easy to do when we agree. You know, the government have recently decided that we would have a 4-day bank holiday next year for the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. I've not really heard many people complaining about that. But what about when we disagree? When the government extend the COVID rules and regulations for an extra month and we don't like it? Peter says we're to submit to authority whether we agree or whether we don't. In fact, submission in many ways only happens when you don't agree. It only begins when you don't agree with what you're told to do. Not really submission if you agree with what you're being told. See, this call to submit is a comprehensive call. And so the question is, why should we do this? Why should I submit? Why should you submit to authority? Why should you submit to Boris Johnson and the government? Well, we should do so because of who we are as Christians. You see, what is a Christian? Peter says something interesting about what a Christian is in verse 16. He says, live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but live as servants of God. That word servants is the word doulos in the Greek, which is the word for slave. See, Peter's saying something here about what a Christian is. He's saying, if you're a Christian, then you are a free person, and you're a slave of God. In fact, you are a free person because you're a slave of God. Your freedom is a result of your slavery. Now, we struggle to get our head around this. Freedom is freedom from something. But actually, the Bible says you're only free if you're a slave of God. You're only free in relation to God. And if you are a slave of God, then you should express that in the way that you serve other people and you submit to authorities. Now, it seems quite harsh when you talk about Christians as slaves of God, but actually, when you think about it, everyone is a slave to something. Everybody serves something. It might be your money. It might be your family. It might be a relationship. It might be a career. It might be your status. It might be control. It might be people pleasing. It could be anything that you put as number one in your life. Everybody serves something. Everyone has something in their life that they live for. Bob Dylan said that years ago. You've got to serve somebody. It might be the devil. It might be the Lord. But you've got to serve somebody. Everybody does. If you don't know what that is in your life, ask yourself. When in a day, when in a week am I sad? What is it that makes me mad? Or what stuff leads me to be bad? Because if you can answer those questions, you can begin to identify what it is that you're living for and that you're serving. And whatever you serve, whatever you live for, whatever you're a slave to, will restrict your life because it controls your behavior. And so the question is not, do you live with restrictions? We all do because we all serve somebody. But are you living with restrictions that bring you freedom? Does the God that you serve, that you're a slave to, lead you to live a free life or not? And the answer to that is, what have you been designed for? Because whatever you've been designed for, whoever you've been designed for, if you live in light of that, that is where freedom's brought. Henry was saying earlier about his wellies being filled with plastic bags. And of course, those wellies were designed for Henry's feet. They're not designed for plastic bags. Now, it doesn't really affect the wellies too much if they're filled with plastic bags most of the time. But what about DIY? You know, you're doing some DIY in the garden, trying to build some garden furniture, and you've got the nails ready, and you haven't got a hammer to hand, so you take out your mobile phone from your pocket. And you start hammering in the nails with a mobile phone. What's going to happen to the phone? It's going to it's going to be broken quite quickly. Why? Because that's not what it's designed for. Or take a goldfish. You know, those little golden, orange goldfish, delightful. And you get one of those round bowls, and you put the goldfish in the bowl, and they actually look massive because of the way that the glass is shaped. And you look and you think, oh, isn't that pretty? And then you think to yourself, oh, no, maybe I'm constraining that goldfish. I'm restricting it. It can only swim within that bowl. Let me take it out. Let me give it some air. Let me put it on the side. Let me give it some freedom. And you take it out and you put it on the side, and it starts flapping and moving and hopping and jumping, and it's free. But soon, what's going to happen to that goldfish? It's free, but it's going to die. Why? Because it's not designed to live on the cupboard. It's designed to live in the water, in a bowl. That's where freedom's found. It's found as it lives according to its design. You and I have been designed by God for God. And so we are free in relationship to Him. You are free as you have Him as your Lord, as you have Him as your master, as you live as His slave. As you are committed to Him. You see, if you live for anyone else or anything else, it's not what you're designed for. And so you're going to be like that goldfish, flapping, flopping, dying. The Bible says that we were created and designed for God. And the result of living for God means that you will serve others. You will submit to authority. Or as Peter says in verse 17, you will honor everyone. You'll give everyone the respect that is due to them. You will love the brotherhood. You'll particularly love other Christians. Because they're not just other citizens in your country. They are your family, brothers and sisters. You'll fear God. Because only God is your God, and only He deserves to be feared. You won't fear Nero or the government or your boss at work. You will honor them. You will honor the emperor. But you'll honor him like you honor other citizens, because they are human beings. They are not God. See, that's the attitude we should have. And we have that attitude because of who we are. We are free people. Slaves of God. So where do we get the motivation from to submit like that? What empowers us? What enables us to live like that? But Peter tells us in verses 21 to 25, he brings us to the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, it's knowing what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross, how He suffered for you on the cross, that enables you to live like this. You see, what did Jesus Christ do? He submitted Himself to His Father. His Father and Him came up with a plan before the creation of the world that He would come into the world to redeem the world, to save you and me. And He submitted to that plan. He took the form of a servant. He became a human being. He humbled Himself and went to the cross. And what was He doing when He went to the cross? He went and He died for your sins, for your selfishness, for all the ways you fail to love God and fail to love your neighbor, all the ways you live to serve yourself, all the ways you live to serve other gods who you were not designed for. He went to the cross and died in your place, punished by God for you. And what did that involve? It involved Him being reviled, scorned, mocked, slandered, beaten, crucified. He was willing to be nailed to a wooden cross, completely restricted, completely restrained, so that you can be free, freely forgiven, free in relationship with God, free, free from death, free, free from guilt, free, free from judgment, free. because he was restricted, you can be free. You can be right with God once again. So that's what Jesus Christ did when he went to the cross. Bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place, condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a savior. See, only when you see what Jesus Christ has done for you, only when you see that God has freed you from your sins, God has freed you to live for him, only once you've seen that will you live a free life. Will you submit yourself to him and have him as your Lord and be his slave, and will you then serve other people? So what's the result of it? When you do serve others, what's the result? What's the benefit? What's the blessing? What's the result of submitting to the government? What's the result of submitting to your boss? Well, first of all, let me give you three things, three ways, three results. First of all, it pleases God. Peter says in verse 20, "What credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure?" You know, if you do something wrong and you get beaten, you deserve it. But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. What does he mean that it's a gracious thing in the sight of God? He means that God's really pleased with it. He's not pleased with it if you do wrong and get a beating. But when you suffer unjustly, when you are treated badly at work by your boss and you endure and submit, when the government tells you to do things which you don't agree with and which maybe they shouldn't be telling you what to do, but you submit to it, God is pleased. He's pleased because when you submit to it, you're following the example of Jesus Christ. God sees the image of Jesus Christ being worked out in your life. He sees you acting like his son. And he was pleased with his son when he went to the cross. He was pleased with his son when he was willing to submit to injustice. And he's pleased with you when you do the same. In fact, this idea of God being gracious has the idea of reward as well. There's no credit, there's no reward for doing things that are wrong. But when you do what's good and you suffer unjustly and you're not rewarded by your boss or anybody else, God sees and God will reward. It pleases God. But the second result of submitting is that it commends the gospel. Peter says this. He says, "This is the will of God, that by doing good," verse 15, "you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people." When you live right, when you submit to authority, when you submit to your boss, it overcomes the hostility that people have to the Christian faith. You know, lots of people are hostile to the Christian faith, often because they're ignorant of it, and they just pick up an idea, and they criticize you as a Christian. They treat you badly because you're a Christian. They just have a go. It might just be a little snide comment. It might be a bit of a joke. Or it might be a bit more deliberate and purposeful. But when you submit, when you don't have a go at your boss, even though everybody else is, when you submit to the government, even though nobody else likes what they're doing, and don't really follow the rules, when you do that, people are amazed because you stand out like a sore thumb. People say, "We're having a go at their faith, but we can't make any mud stick on their life because of the way they're living. They're going above and beyond. They're turning the other cheek. They're going the second mile. They live different to these Christians." And what happens? Well, it renders people speechless. The mud that they throw at you can't stick. And people end up getting converted. Let me give you the example of Pastor's son, which I came across this week. The year was 1948, long time ago, and the place was Korea, a town called Suncheon, near the 38th parallel. A band of communists had come into the town and taken control of it, and had taken Pastor Sun's two oldest boys, Matthew and John, and executed them. When the communists were driven out, there was an investigation, and Chai Sun, a young man of the village, was identified as the person who had shot the two boys. And so he was tried, and he was going to be executed. And Pastor Sun stood up for him and said, "Please don't execute this boy who killed my two sons. I would like to adopt him into my family." One of the boy's sisters, Rachel, Pastor Sun's daughter, backed up her father. Chai Sun came and lived with Pastor Sun. He found the grace of God with Pastor Sun, and he himself became a Christian. That's how to submit to unjust treatment and commend the gospel of Jesus Christ. But finally, it honors God. When Jesus Christ was reviled, when he suffered, we're told in verse 23, he didn't threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. What happens when, or what should happen when a person gossips about you at work? Or your friend slags you off behind your back? Or your neighbors have a go at you? What should you do? Well, you don't have a go back. You don't defend yourself. But instead, you forgive. That's the only alternative. You say, like Jesus did on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." And you forgive them and trust yourself to God because you know that one day God is going to put every wrong right. See, every wrong that is done in the universe will either be paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ or will be judged on the final day by God. And so when you are treated badly, by not defending yourself, but by forgiving instead, you're honoring God because you're saying, "God, you have the means to deal with this. I don't know how to deal with this situation. It's not my place to deal with this situation. I give it over to you. You are the judge of the universe. You've sent Jesus to die for sins, my sins, other people's sins as well. And you will judge on the final day. And I know that the way I am being wronged now is going to be dealt with in one of those two ways." When you do that, you're honoring God. Because you're saying, "God, you're God. You're the judge, and you will always do what is right." See, when you submit to authorities, when you submit to unjust treatment by your boss, when you do those things, it pleases God. It commends the gospel. And it honors the God who will judge one day. Let me pray for us. Gracious Father, we admit that we, in our hearts, are proud and we don't like our freedom constrained by people telling us what to do. But Lord, help us remember that we are free people. We've been freed by you, by the sacrifice of Christ. Help us, therefore, to live free lives by submitting ourselves to you and in turn serving the government, serving other people. Give us the ability to do this by seeing just how much you love us and what Christ did for us. And as we do that, Lord, may we commend the gospel both individually and as a church here at St. Clement's. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.